Are you busy but actually going nowhere? I mean, think about that for a moment. Too often we think to ourselves, okay, I've got so much going on, I got so much going on, and we have all this motion, but are we really making any progress? That's what we're going to be talking about on today's Speak and Get What You Want podcast with Francis Jones. How are you, Francis?
I am fantastic, and this subject speaks to my heart, and not in a good
Well,
way.
you know, it's interesting. You and I were talking about this. Everybody has this problem to a some sort of degree where they get caught up in just going through the motion, thinking they're busy, and sometimes even actually mistaking it for progress.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those who have spent a lot of time in corporate America, some of these individuals even get rewarded for this kind of behavior.
Oh, I think it's more than some of these. I think that's it. I think that that happens a lot, and I'm sure we're going to get into it. That is detrimental on so many levels, but it's just a cop out. It's just it, I think it's too easy for managers to look at checks on a, ticks on a page. How many checks did I mark off today? Oh, this guy marked off 15 things. That guy only marked off 3 things, so he's the more productive one, because they're just not willing to, not able to, whatever, to get down and to figure out what was the most impactful thing versus what was the most number of things that got done. And I think it in most cases it's because we're lazy. As a leader, it's what we're lazy if we're looking, because I can just at glance and how can anyone argue that's not the best player on my team or the most productive person? Look at all those boxes they checked off yesterday. Yeah, well, okay, well, what do they really get done from checking those boxes off? And so, because you have to dig in.
Right. And we're going to talk about how you actually can fix this, specifically in yourself, because sometimes, Francis, we're looking at people that seem to get rewarded for busyness rather than outcomes. And so we then think, okay, what can I do to act more busy so that I can be rewarded to some degree?
Yeah, totally. And listen, we come by this naturally. I mean, and we live in a world that visually it does those things. I'm a big sports fan, and who am I going to give a bigger contract to? The guy that hit 300 and knocked in 120 runs, or a guy that hit 280 and knocked in 70 runs? All runs aren't created equal,
Right.
right? I mean, and so like on its face, I'm going to look at that guy's numbers and say, that's what I'm doing. We grew up in a time, I know you're not as big a sports fan, at least baseball, as I am. Like when I was a kid, this is going to shock a lot of you out there. On Sunday mornings, I would race outside to get the newspaper because I wanted to see what my favorite players were doing, had done that week. Because there was no internet, there was no ESPN, there was no national sports talk radio. So I wanted to see how my favorite players were doing in the stats race. And for hitters, it was batting average, RBIs, so runs batted in, and home runs. Those were the counting stats, right? So I'd get the paper out and I would look at all those things and I'd say, oh my guy, he hit 3 home runs this week. Look at him, we're in the leaderboard. That was it. That was all you looked at, right? But as we've gotten farther into things, and there's more data and more science, and there's fielding percentages, and there's wins above replacement, and some of those things are a little bit weird, but it measures things other than just those things you can see on the top. It measures all the things underneath. It's how what angle they hit the ball at, and how often is it on the ground versus in the air, and how often did they get the runner over, and how like all those things that it's not always going to show up in the numbers, right? My dad was a huge Red Sox fan growing up. There was a guy named Wade Boggs, and Wade Boggs was a great hitter, great batting average. Wade Boggs would not, he did not care about the team. This was not a secret. If there was a man on second base, he like if there's a man on second base less than 2 outs, your goal is to get him to third base. And sometimes that means you're going with the pitch to get it to the right side, so the guy goes to third. That counts as an out. That hurts your batting average, right? But it helps the team because the guy's now on third base and you can get him home on a on lots of different ways. But Wade Boggs, if it, he was always going to try and make his batting average better as opposed to let's get this guy over. And so we get so myopic about the counting stats that we lose track of the other things that might matter even more. And it's lazy. It's just, we get lazy and we get like, we just get too focused on things that don't matter.
Okay. So how do you, so those that are listening are going, okay, Francis, I hear what you're saying. All this is going on. It's the way we navigate life. Sometimes we just get caught up in the busyness of things, trying to make ourselves look productive. How do we get focused on outcomes so that we don't fall into some of those traps? Because like we said, people seem to be getting rewarded for that kind of behavior. But by the way, it's limited reward because eventually Correct. They're exposed, right? And we've Correct. Seen that time and time again, where people do get in that busyness and they're saying all those things. Eventually they're exposed, and eventually people realize who they are and they move on from them. But how do you avoid falling into that trap of busyness and really focus on outcomes instead of busyness?
For me, what I found, and listen, I'm not sitting here pretending I'm not, that I don't fall victim to this, right? You mentioned it at the very beginning. We all fall victim to it at times. And we have to be really, really intentional. For me, it's about focusing on what are the goals or the outcomes I want? Because I can do lots of things. If my goal is to look busy, man, Chadwick, I can look busy. Right. And you'll look at me and you'll say, that guy is so busy. But at the end of the day, they say, what did you actually get done? My pencils are really sharp. But that doesn't like, so it, you have to focus on the outcome, the goal. What is it you want to have accomplished at the end of the day? Because sometimes that's going to be doing one thing, and sometimes that's going to be doing 50 things. So for me, it's almost like, I think you have to focus first on those outcomes, and then it's a progression, right? Because if you're someone like me who tracks at being lazy sometimes, who's like, I don't know, I got plenty of time to do it, I have to first get myself in motion, right? And so if I know this is my goal, but I'm not feeling motivated, or I'm not feeling like I'm just not the pressure to have it done. I'm a deadline guy. And so sometimes I put things off longer than I should. If I just get myself in motion, and sometimes that is little things like sharpening pencil, whatever it is, just get myself in motion. But that's where the work begins, right? Okay, you've gotten yourself in motion now, Francis. All right, big boy. Now, what do you have to do now to make real progress, not just superficial progress? Because sometimes, you know, the old saying, you know, fake it till you make it. Sometimes you just have to fake it. You just have to, like, I'm not really feeling it, so I'm just going to get moving. But eventually, you have to make it, right? And so I think setting those goals, and it's like, what are those objectives that I want to have done today, tomorrow, next week. It's what we talk about in Academy with our 5-year, 3-year, 1-year, 90-day plan, right? If I look at 5 years and I say our goal is to have 10,000 people in Academy, well, I've got 5 years to do that, Chad.
Right.
I've got 5 years. So should I really have to work on the website today? Do I really have to work on a new course? I got 5 years. Right. Okay, well, what if we break that down into little steps? You're not going to get to 10,000 unless you have a lot of little things, which is the 3-year, 1-year, 90-day plan. And so you focus on those goals and then you start taking action. I think people sometimes also, they're like, well, what's the point? I'm never going to get there. So why bother? So I'm just going to do what I have to do to make it, you know, to fake it until whatever. And so for me, that's really what it comes
down to. Well, and I think what you said there, Francis, with the fact that you have established goals, that gives you a framework for you to then not get caught up in the busyness and get really focused on what you want to accomplish, right? So many people get caught up in that busyness because they don't have a basketball court. You staying with your sports analogy, they don't have the lines drawn, they don't have the basketball hoop set up. So they're just out dribbling the ball because they don't even know what they're shooting for. And so right. When you think about, what do I really want to do to make sure that I don't fall into this trap, I think step one is to really notice what you and I talked about a second ago, is understand that person who's validating themselves, or that person who's determining their worth by busyness, will eventually be exposed. In almost every case, they will eventually be exposed. That's number one. And then number two, Francis, is understanding that if you get clear on the goals you want to accomplish, then all that noise of the other people around you, that's going to go away because you're dialed in on what you want and what you're trying to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think going along with that is the elimination of distractions, right? It's in today's world, like it, you know, I remember my first corporate job. I worked at the Vanguard Group. I'd worked other jobs, but that was my first office job where I sat at a computer and I was processing trades and I was the investor information. But I worked, in order to get in, I worked 12 o'clock to 8 p.m. So, because we had to cover the East Coast, right? Because you're not going to have people in Pennsylvania work until 11 o'clock because then you got to pay a differential. So I was working 12 to 8. So the 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock hours, little bit slow, right? As you can imagine, being not everyone calling, especially like on a Friday, right? So it was really, really slow. And that was the first time I ever had a constant exposure to the internet, right? My parents had the internet down the street from me, so I could go to their house if I wanted to do things. But
And you're dating yourself all over the place now.
And they had the internet, and it wasn't dial-up. Like it was like I could have two windows open at once, so I could have my investor information open, but I could have the box score of a baseball game, you know, the game cast going on, or basketball because I love sports, and I just have it going on in the corner, and I could do this, and so. But that was one window with one thing, and now we have computers that are more powerful than anything our parents ever saw when they were growing up in our pockets, and we're so distracted with text messages and TikToks and Facebook and, you know, and all the news outlets, even if they're noble things. I'm not even suggesting those things are bad, although some of them, you know, in moderation, I think any of them are good. But even if you're like, listen, I'm a religious guy, you're a religious guy, I'd say the same thing about having the scriptures in my pocket, right? Like if I'm just on there reading my scriptures all day long, that's still a distraction from the goals, unless that was my goal, right? But we have so many distractions we didn't have before that you really have to focus on what those goals are I want to accomplish and what do I have to do to get those done, right? You have to be willing to let those other unimportant things go. Otherwise, you will not be successful. You can't.
Well, and the reality is, if you will just think that sometimes the biggest distraction, Francis, let me just say this real quick, is looking around and watching all those busy people appear to
Oh,
be
yeah.
successful. You know what I mean? That's a big distraction. And so we're sitting around going, wait a second, they appear to be successful. And when our goals are not clear in our mind, then we're much I'm not saying you don't get distracted or the temptation of distraction's not there, but you are more focused and have a greater ability to withstand those distractions when you have the clear goal in front of you.
Absolutely, 100%. When we first started building out Academy and we started looking at our courses, I would start working on stuff, and I don't mean this literally, but pretty close. Like I'd look up and it was 5 o'clock. Like I was so focused. Like I had to get it done. I was excited about it, and I wanted to make sure I had it just right. And so I'd play and play and play, and so I enjoyed what I was doing with it. And I was doing something that had value and purpose. But we had a goal, like we're going to launch this and we're going to do it. And it makes it so much easier. You know, we used to work with a guy named Greg Head, and he was our chief marketing officer at a company. And Greg Head did a course, a class once for employees. You could sign up, and it was about how to pitch your ideas to an executive, right? Because people like me who have not been an executive, we think that, and please, no one judge me until I finish this analogy, but we think that we put our pants on the same way they do and that our time is the same as their time. It's not. We have, as an individual contributor, we have different things that need to get done. And when you go to an executive, you got to be very succinct and very, you know, clear about what you're doing. And you have to be like this fluff stuff that we like to do. And oh, it's 400 pages long. Now look at how much thought I put into it. No, I need it in two sentences. Like you've got to get it done. Don Miller talked about that as well with his movie pitches, right? But Greg had one of the most important things that I ever learned from him, and I learned a lot of important things from Greg, but was he said, what you're suggesting to me has to be more important than the least important thing on my list of things to do. So when you're talking about building out this thing of this goals and what I have to get done, if something else comes up, you have to be able to prioritize and say, is this new thing more important than the thing that was already the least important thing on my list of things I had to get done? And I bet you, if I was a betting man, that 99% of the time, it is not more important. It is not more important.
But yet we spend so much time on things that are less important.
But they may be a little easier or more fun.
Right. And it just doesn't take as much work. It doesn't take as much effort. But the key is, and I love what you've outlined here, the key is really getting clear on your goals and then reminding yourself of those goals and intentionally eliminate distractions. Because those distractions can cause you to go down rabbit holes, can cause you to make you feel like you're busy. Do you know how many really successful people I've talked to, Francis, who I've said, asked them this question. I said, have you ever gotten home at the end of the day and know you worked all day, but you can't really determine what you even did? And they'll say, oh yeah, yeah, I've had those days. But they have far fewer of them, and that's why they're experiencing success. And so everyone struggles with this. Everyone struggles with the busyness and mistaking busyness for progress, but those who are successful recognize it and then eliminate it.
I really love what you said there too, because it's really easy for those of us that are still reaching for like that, what we think success looks like, right? And that could be a whole other podcast, like what success looks like, but we're reaching for what we think success looks like because other people have gotten it. And it's really important for all of us to understand that those people who we view as successful also have bad days, and they also have unproductive times, and they also experience the same failure as we experience it. It's just they're able to minimize those things. I've told you the story about my mentor, Elizabeth, and I went to this course and I texted her. I'm like, I'm so excited that I learned this because now I won't do it anymore. And she's like, you're adorable. Because that's not the way it works. The fact that you know this happens doesn't mean it won't happen. It just means you'll be able to recognize it's happening and be able to pull out of it more quickly, which of course was true. And it's one of those things that I have learned to live by, is that if you can just see that it's happening, you're like, oh my gosh, here it is. And then you can move out of it quickly. Right. It doesn't mean you're not going to do
that's
it.
Right.
We're humans. Like, and to her point, that's part of what makes us who we are, by the way. We don't want to be robots. We don't want to be that person that never experiences frustration and unhappiness. Those things are what make us who we are. And so it's just being able to pull through those and more quickly. And so I love what you said about the successful people. I was thinking, oh, they don't do this. Well, no, that's dumb. Of course they do. Of course they have problems. Everyone has problems. And so for any of us listening to recognize that successful people, first of all, success is not, you don't ever achieve success. It's linear. It's on a line, right? So there's some successful in some things. A lot of successful people in money aren't successful in personal relationships. Maybe they struggle. Like I've talked to many, I used to work at a culinary school, lots of really successful chefs that couldn't stay married to save their lives. It's not because they're bad people. It's because their balance was out of whack, right? So this, we got to be really careful about focusing on what success means anyway.
Right.
But I really like that. And that's really impactful. Like they have problems with it too.
No question. But I do believe in those, everyone listening, the main takeaway from what we're talking about here, Francis, is recognizing that, oh my goodness, I'm getting caught up in that trap of thinking that busyness is progress, and then pull back and stop and go, okay, why am I thinking busyness is progress? And is it because I'm not clear on what I want my outcomes to be? I'm not clear on what my destination is.
I think that's ultimately what is going to be the result. I do find it very difficult. Like there are some things I can do in the moment and be like, oh, it's happening. And I can correct. That's not one of this is not one of those for me. It usually it's something triggers, like I've gone a couple days and then I got a boss that's, you know, unhappy because I missed a deadline or the product wasn't what he or she thought it was going to be. And I've missed the mark on it. And then I'm like, ugh, I wasn't super clear on my, so I, it's really hard for me to pull myself out of it in the moment, because I think I'm doing everything that needs to be done. And it's, I'm not always honest with myself about it, right? But I think that really goes to a larger thing about, you know, journaling or taking inventory, or, you know, like, you know, we were younger, you know, companionship inventories or whatever, like weekly meetings, like team is a reason why teams meet regularly. And it's not always why we think it is. It's like, we need to be able to check back in and correct the course. And if we never talk, we don't know. And so having someone, a thought partner, or having our goals written down, whatever it is, we've got to be able to see where we're offline, right?
Well, and everything you're saying though, Francis, it goes back to what do you mean you're offline? Offline of what? Everyone needs to know where you're going. Everyone needs to know the direction you're headed. And whether it be you and your spouse, whether it be you specifically, just needing to know, this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going. So the busyness of people around me, or the people pretending they're busy, and in corporate America, when you have people say things like, oh, I'm sorry, I just don't have time for that, you know, and you're referencing a movie or whatever it is. I don't have time to watch movies. I'm so, you know, so busy doing whatever it is. The reality is we all have the same 24 hours. It's just what's important to you. And what we have to make sure we're all clear on is what is important to us. What is the outcome look like? And what are we going to do to get there?
Totally. It's really, it's a very interesting concept. It's this unique idea. But understanding where you want to go, right? And it goes back to what we've talked about in previous podcasts about having a mentor or a coach or someone to talk to. Like it's really, I don't understand, you know, I watch, there's a show that's on, my son likes to watch it, and it's called Alone. And it's a survival show, and they place 10 people out in the wilderness in the, you know, upper, you know, near the polar ice cap. And it's they're all by themselves, and there's no technology except for the cameras recording them. And I think, oh, I think I could do that. And then I think about it, I don't think I could make it 2 hours by myself. We're not intended to be alone. I like, the idea is like, you've got to have people you can talk with and talk through things with, and you can bounce ideas off of, whether that's a coach or a mentor, whether it's a loved one, whatever it is. I think it would be really difficult for someone who is truly alone in themselves, inside their head, to be able to course correct on this, because I think it'd be really tough. Like, because if I said, I'm really busy and I just don't seem to be getting anywhere, I'm pretty sure that Chad Kirby would say to me, what is it? What are you trying to accomplish?
Right.
Well, and if I can't articulate that, well, of course I'm not getting anything accomplished.
And Francis, you and I have interviewed a lot of really, really successful, or people accomplished, right, let's use the word accomplished, individuals. Yeah. And none of them have done it alone. They've all had people help them. Because even as we get clear on our direction, we need people to help sustain us so that we can get to where we need to be. It does not happen by yourself.
No, busy does not equate productive. And like, you really have to think about that. So for me, it's just a really helpful reminder for me. You know, when I get up in the morning, what does I want to get done today? Well, I need to finish this. I need to finish that. I need to be able to turn this in. Okay, which of those is most important, and what do I have to do to accomplish that? Sometimes it is just a couple things. Sometimes it's a lot of things. But if I do that, then I find that I'm less overwhelmed. I can prioritize. And there are, and I don't want to belittle or what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it, but I'm not trying to put anybody down. There are times where there's too much to get done, and the overwhelm is real. And the hard stop, that does happen. Single parents, and, you know, that working two jobs, and, you know, kids are struggling in school and homework and all that. Like, I understand that does happen, but for the majority of us, it usually isn't that bad. And if it is, it isn't that bad all the time. And so putting some of these things into practice can help eliminate some of that noise that stops us from reaching those goals and just being busy as opposed to being productive.
I love that. I love that. Busyness is not equal to productivity. It's just not. And so this is a great, great reminder. And so, Francis, it's a reminder to all of us to make sure we're reviewing our goals. We're setting our goals. We're clear on our direction. And then as we do that, we won't get distracted with those who have no direction but appear to be very busy.